This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
DC for you. DC for you. DC for you. DC for you.
Todd, I'm feeling kind of depressed right now.
Summertime, and the living is sucky.
Yep, this is... You know, we've had such a good month of Justice League episodes. We've had a lot of fun about that. And, man, this episode is just going to be a bummer. I really am feeling down because there's just so much bad news going around these days. And, you know, it's not even that DC's doing anything wrong this time. It's just bad circumstances, honestly. And other people are to blame for things suddenly about taking a downward turn. But
other people, who are these other people you're talking about?
Oh, I'm going to...
The hard-traveling fanboys?
Oh, I blame them for everything, usually. But no, they already reported on our first little story in the lineup here. But, you know, this is a thing that was kind of near and dear to both of us. So there was no way we weren't going to mention this. That Sci-Fi has canceled Krypton after two seasons and has also shelved any plans for that Lobo spinoff.
That's some bullshit, man.
Yeah, I'm not happy about this. A lot of people are probably not happy about this, although if the ratings, the live ratings are any indication, there were a lot of people who just weren't watching the show either. So I guess I can't necessarily blame them for canceling a show that not many people were watching that was also really expensive to produce. But man, it was such a good show. Everything about the show I loved. And I say that as somebody who had no interest in the concept to begin with, but man, that show won me over.
Really good take on the General Zod mythos and, you know, a show about Superman's grandpa ended up being really good and very stylish and good effects and compelling. I think a show like that is not meant for a network program or block. I think it's really a bingeable type show. So many people came across it on binging or via DVR. And again, it's just a casualty of so much bloody content out there. There's so much to watch that sometimes we get paralyzed. But oh, wait, I just quizzed, for instance.
Yeah.
What am I going to watch now? I don't know. And then you put it off for a couple of days. It's tough because you want everything to be as convenient as the stuff you're getting on the drop it all in time platform, like Glow or something on Netflix.
Yeah.
And traditional cable is not giving you that.
And it does suck, but I fully agree. Krypton is one of those shows that if you watched all of season one in like just a big binge, you probably wouldn't turn it off until you reach the end. It is such an engaging show. Season two, I think, is going to be that exact same way whenever it goes up on the DC Universe app. And fingers crossed, maybe they'll see some value in it and breathe some life back into the show. I think it's probably a low probability of that happening, but it's still nice to think about because the show seems like it would be great on that platform.
Yeah, and season one ended up there, but
it did.
Who knows what's up with DC Universe because I'm still waiting for Stargirl, a look at Stargirl.
Yeah.
And you don't hear anything about that. And DCU has been up for a whole year already.
Yeah, it is in process and in post production, as I understand it. But as far as it goes, it was delayed. But we'll get into some related delays in just a minute, because there's other sad TV news. Brandon Routh is leaving Legends of Tomorrow.
What?
I know. Ray Palmer will no be on the Legends crew. He and Nora Dark, I guess, are going to ride off into the sunset together. That would be my guess for them. Much like Oliver Queen and Fee Smoke, I feel like they're going to get a send-off and get to go have their happy ending. But yeah.
Well, I would like it if Gene Loring were to come out and murder Nora Dark. That would be great. And we get our own little... We don't need a DCW Crisis on Infinite Earths. We need a DCW Infinite Crisis. Identity Crisis.
There we go. You know, that could be a thing going down the road. Who knows? But Brandon is still going to suit up as Superman for Crisis on Infinite Earths. So that's something still to look forward to. I do hope he's actually playing the Kingdom Come Superman. That would be really awesome.
That has been rumored.
Alongside Ben Conroy's, got to be much older, like, held together by prosthetics Batman. I mean, if we see that could make up for a lot of the sad news there. Just some other little quick hits on the sad news side. G. Willow Wilson, who's been having a pretty good run over on Wonder Woman, she's going to be leaving the book at 81. She's getting to do a Dream project, whatever that means. We don't even know. Don't even know if that's at DC.
We don't. But what DC book is going to be without a writer very soon?
Well, Batman for one.
Batman is going to be without a writer. So I was thinking about this, Russell. I was thinking, what bigger way to make a splash after and who knows if Willow writing Batman would divide the fanboys even more. But I think she's earned something high profile like this with the creation of Ms. Marvel and pretty solid run on the Amazonian Wonder Woman. Let's see what she can do with one of the really high profile books.
I would be very happy if she were announced as the incoming Batman writer. Her her Wonder Woman run did get off to a bit of a shaky start, but it found its footing really quickly. And now that she's writing Cheetah, she writes that character really well. I love how she's writing the classic villains. So if you pair her with the right artist, I think that you'll get something really great out of her. So I'm excited to see what her dream project actually is, but I am sad to see her leave Wonder Woman, especially since Steve Orlando is going to be taking it over, and I am way less than enthused about that.
Didn't you like Midnighter?
I loved Midnighter. I think that Steve Orlando was great on that, but I've read a lot of his other stuff, his more like standard superhero fare, and it just ain't for me. He's written a fill-in arc on Wonder Woman recently. That really wasn't for me. I was like, this is just not hitting for me. I don't feel any need to go on with it. I mean, it was fine. It wasn't horrible. It did nothing for me, you know? So I was like, okay, well, this sucks, because G. Willow Wilson was really getting on a good tear here. But I get it. If you get offered a big thing, you got to go do it. And that means some things are just going to have to drop off. Speaking of drop off, Young Justice got delayed.
It did. Wonder Comics is running into some issues, at least on the Bendis books.
Yeah, not exactly sure what's going on there. The explanation has been a little convoluted, though I think there may be some story reasons for it, much like how Superman and Supergirl both got delayed due to, one, wrong covers attached to the books, But if you go check eBay, those wrong covers are selling real high dollar right now, so get them while they're
hot. Some retailers ignored the company meant to pulp those, and
that they did.
Are going into business for themselves, baby.
My LCS didn't even get any. I asked. I was like, did he get any book? Did you get any of the Superman or Supergirl books? And he was like, no, I wish I did, but they caught my order before it ever went out. I'm like, welp. But yeah, Young Justice is going to be delayed. Not by that long. I think it's only about like a couple of weeks or something like that. And we got to look at the new Tim Drake costume.
Good Lord, that's a terrible costume.
As the fellows over on HTF said, it is bird shit brown.
I haven't seen a costume like that since the old Batman and the Outsiders Geo-Force costume.
Yeah, that was... As I said it in a Facebook group, I don't have a problem with the aesthetic of the design. I just don't... I hate the coloring of it. I really don't like that. And I think of Tim Drake as being just a little bit more of a colorful character, so... Why couldn't he have a little more color in his costume? This doesn't—it doesn't look right. I don't think it sticks.
No, I think people have complained loudly enough that Bendis will go, well, I don't know. Let's take another swing at it. Yeah, or turn all the brown to a gray or something. Mm. I mean, we don't have enough characters that don't have a color. They're just different shades of black and gray. I would like that, even though that might be a little Nightwing-y.
Yeah. Hell, Nightwing isn't even Nightwing right now, so somebody needs to step in and fill that void. At least Tim Drake is still himself.
For now.
Yeah.
Until Dan DiDio wants to kill him.
Oh, God. Not another one.
Again. Yeah. Sorry. Bummer summer, man.
Yeah, this is some bummer summer. Speaking of bummer, we can't let... Jeff Johns off the hook here. More delays for Shazam, and it just keeps on getting pushed back. Is there? I mean, do you think we're coming to the point where they're just going to stealth cancel the title altogether, and this whole promise of it shipping twice a month once it comes back is just bullshit?
You know, it's. Seems like they're not being transparent. It's like they're acting like they're being transparent, but there's got to be something else going on here. That we've seen Johns do this with two high-profile books now. Literally, both the books he's working on are just delayed and delayed. And yes, he's a busy guy, but I'm trying to think of a Marvel equivalent or seeing another writer who was able to juggle both the Hollywood and the writing side of things and keep it going. Because he's, you know, involved in production of film and TV projects still.
Yeah, he's been hard at work on the Stargirl TV show. Mm-hmm. Apparently that's really taken up a lot of his time. And he's also, he's heavily involved in a lot of the shows that are over on DC Universe. And some in the CW side as well, the DCW, if you will. I like that moniker. Now, I get it if that's...
Thank you.
Todd came up with a good one there. I think we're just going to start using it that, the DCW. But yeah, you've got all this stuff on Jeff Johns' plate, so it makes sense that he wouldn't have time to do everything. And, I mean, Gary Frank kind of fell on his sword for Doomsday Clock, though. He was saying that it's just such a highly detailed book that it's taking a lot longer to get it done than they had previously anticipated. But I think that was probably a known issue going into the book, as has been said already. And they should have just, you know, solicited it that way instead of saying it was going to be monthly. I was like, no, it's not. It's not going to be monthly. You know it's not. It can't be. So just straight up tell people that, and you don't set unrealistic expectations from the start.
November is going to be the 2-year anniversary of Doomsday Clock number 1 coming out.
Good God.
So...
Yeah.
So, you know, you average that out. It might as well be bi-monthly at that point. Who knows when issue 12 will come out. But 11 is due to drop on September 4th. And they do have it at the printer. It has been printed. It will be coming to comic shops next week. But, yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah, so at least an issue is coming out, you know, unlike poor Shazam, who, you know, who knows what's really going on there.
Daily Eaglesham doesn't have a bad reputation as an artist.
Not at all.
Was timely with all his work on Fantastic Four and Justice Society, so I don't think he's the issue, honestly.
I don't either. I think that this is definitely a Geoff Johns issue, but who knows what is actually going on with him. And I hate to say that because I love everything he writes, and it sucks that all his stuff is getting delayed like this. Now,
yeah.
I guess, you know, we'll just see what happens with Shazam, but, you know, best case scenario, it actually does come out later on year, and they're able to get on that twice a month schedule. I'll believe that when I see it, but, you know, that is their story, and they're sticking to it for now. We'll go ahead and put a big old spoiler alert here for the fall, bummer summer bit of this episode. If you have not read Batman 77 and you do not want to know what the big thing that happens in that is, you should skip ahead a bit. Skip ahead about 2-3 minutes because we're gonna spoil the issue right now because it is a bit of a bummer. Even though the issue was actually really, really good. In fact, this whole City of Bane arc has been great since it started. But this was a shock. And 3-2-1.
Damian sucks and he got Alfred killed.
Yeah. Damian violated Bane's rule of no members of the Bat family in Gotham City. And as a result, Bane snaps Alfred's neck in front of him, appearing to have killed Batman's longtime butler. Now, some people on the internet have pointed out that this doesn't jive with
Doomsday Clock.
Like Doomsday Clock and certain other stories in continuity, including stuff that's on over in Justice League. Things that have happened in Detective Comics, you know, just other appearances of Batman that are definitely taking place probably after the whole City of Bane thing has finished. So there's some speculation about whether or not this actually sticks, or if it was actually Alfred, or if this was like some kind of
Clayface. Yeah, it was Clayface. Yeah, we've never done that before.
Is that could be Clayface? Could be. Crow's fear toxin that hit Damian whenever he encountered them earlier in the issue. It could be any number of things, but we'll just have to wait and see how the story turns out. But given the events of the issue, it shot up real quick on eBay. The prices on that issue went up real high, real fast. But I think people are probably starting to really question it now. Like, is this really a thing that's going to stick? A for effectiveness on that one, because that scene is really good. It's actually incredibly effective, but I can't imagine that Tom King would kill Alfred like that without giving Alfred some kind of really great last words, because Alfred says nothing.
Never.
Never,
Mr. Wayne.
Yeah,
he can't do it.
So it's a bummer of a scene, really a hard gut punch in an otherwise really great issue. I actually really love the interaction of Thomas Wayne and Damian. I thought that they the back and forth they had was really good. And of course the Batman stuff in it should make a lot of people happy.
There's just no pleasing some people, though, as far as Tom King on Batman goes.
You know, that's true, but I'm hoping that maybe one day certain people will ultimately give the rest of the run a shot, and they'll see that this really was a long-form plan to give them everything that they ever wanted in that Batman-Catwoman relationship, because it's about to happen. you can, the writing is on the wall at this point. And I'm ready to see that big team up to kick Bane's ass.
Yeah.
It's coming, and that's going to be a whole hell of a lot of fun to watch. So,
well, how many more issues is he on? He's off at 81, right?
85.
85. Okay, so we're in the last 10, mm-hmm. last 7 issues here. Eight issues.
Yeah, 7, 8 issues left, and then he'll have his Batman Catwoman title that'll probably be about 12 issues, I would think. And that should be real good. It's going to be drawn by Clay Mann, so I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be a beautiful book. Now, let's get into the fun stuff, Todd, because I'm ready to yay the shit out of this. Let's make people happy, because we've got some fun stuff to report from August. First up, a story that's been around for a little while now. I think everybody's talked about it, but it's time for Todd to yay. Marv Wolfman is co-writing the Crisis on Infinite Earths DCW crossover.
What's that, Ricky Watson? Ricky Watson is very happy as well. Yes. Again, audience of one, but we know there are certain fanboys who want this to be as authentic to the original Crisis as possible. And, you know, I love this homage that we're going to get. And what better way to get all the characters, including Black Lightning, together
in the same
universe. And we hope that's the end result. You would think Crisis would end up in that. So let's see. But having Marv to shepherd us through this process is going to be very refreshing, and especially when it involves the characterizations of people like the Monitor, Pariah, Wells is Pariah, as we're going to find out. I hope it didn't spoil anything. If they're going to get Harbinger in there, or what they're going to do, but having Marv Wolfman involved in any way, plus he gets a little bit of writing kickback, would be a welcome sight for DC veterans.
Absolutely.
Especially with, we'll talk more about Legends. We talked about Ralph leaving, but we'll get further into Legends as we get closer to the season.
Yeah. I think this next season of the DCW shows stands a chance of being like the best all around that they've been yet. It just seems poised for that. It's just too big of a thing for them to blow it, and I don't think they will. I think everybody is like fully committed to making this work. And speaking of full commitment, as we're recording this, the day we're recording this, the final trailer for Titans Season 2 dropped, and Todd, I was practically standing and cheering.
We got just a lot of stuff going on.
Deathstroke in action.
Yeah.
And he looked real good.
Looking at, like, he was awakened or activated after some time off. He looked terrific as both Slade and as Deathstroke. And that costume was a lot more accurate to the comics than I was led to expect previously.
Yeah, it looks really good in action. So that's a huge plus and a huge sigh there. I liked what he looked like outside of his costume, too. We see a little unmasked Slade, and he's looking decidedly badass. Speaking of badass...
Ravager.
Ravager looks awesome.
Yeah, Rose Wilson looked great.
Yes, she is looking quite good. We're going to Titan's Tower. That's a thing that's about to happen. And I was tripping out. I was like, I can't believe they're actually going to do it. I'm still a little on the fence with Sir Jorah being Bruce Wayne and Batman, but...
Yeah, but he looked good as Bruce Wayne. You know?
He's got...
Made a good reveal.
He's got the swagger. He's got that going on. So, you know, once the mask is on, anybody in there, any stuntman can be Batman, honestly, because, I mean, you're not going to see his face. So that could work out. I am loving everything that I'm seeing out of Superboy and Crypto so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very excited about Connor and Crypto being there in the Geoff Johns era t-shirt. look. Yes. Jeff Johns' Teen Titans look. So, yeah, that's exciting to me, too.
And he doesn't seem all that dark. He seems like a little chipper, honestly. And I am here for that. I am here for that version of it. And there was a big up. They didn't reveal it because I think they're trying to save it for the show. But there's a big old Nightwing tease in that trailer. And I was just like practically pounding my desk as I'm watching it, just like giddy as hell over this. Titan Season 2 looks so good. I mean,
and
wow.
And it's coming up right away. It's next Friday.
Yes. September 6th, Episode 1 will be on the DC Universe app. And if you haven't watched Season 1, you absolutely got to. It is a tremendous show. It found its footing for me very quickly, and everything about Season 2 looks like it is really upping the ante. Like they're going to make it even more comic book-like than Season 1. So I am fully here for that. And, of course, we get more interactions with Raven and Dick. They had a great dynamic going on in Season 1. I like the new look for Starfire. So,
yes.
And they're going to steer into her alien roots. It seems that her people have found her. And
it looked like there are some Tamaranians there. So can Blackfire be far behind?
That's going to be good. Like this. Look, everything about Titans right now is firing on all cylinders. You got to go watch this show. It's just freaking great. And speaking of stuff that looked great, how about that? We got a Red Band trailer for the animated Harley Quinn show a few weeks back, and I laughed my ass off. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, Kaley Cuoco doing a great job with the character of Harley. I'm looking forward to seeing this on DCU as well, but in all of its rated M glory, I suppose. Or is it going to be more PG-13 with just an occasional F word?
No, I think they're going for the TV-MA. They are hard going for adults. I'm excited about Diedrich being back as Batman.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
Great Brave and the Bold Batman. And Brave and the Bold is on DCU, if you don't know what we're talking about. My previous favorite Aquaman was on Brave and the Bold.
Who's your favorite Aquaman now?
Well, my favorite is Momoa because you can't just erase it. It's just like omnipresent. It's ubiquitous now. So
it is.
And hey, unprecedented worldwide success with the character. Learn to love it because it's the best thing going today.
It absolutely is. And speaking of that, the Kelly Sue DeConnick Aquaman run is real good. So everybody needs to go check that out too. Especially love the way she writes Black Manta. She's got a great handle on there. And speaking of like healthy things, like the DC Universe app, anyway, according to Jim Lee, the subscriber numbers are real good. It's not just surviving, it's thriving. So maybe.
Well, once they went wide with the selection of comics, I was all in. I mean, I committed for the full year, which gave me the 3 extra months ahead of time, which was nice, but I don't see myself canceling the service that are going to keep it going, because the size of the comics library is too large. It's just too nice to be able to go, okay, I guess I'm going to read this random issue of House of Mystery I've never seen before, or I would like to see some tweaks to things, to the search functions and finding things throughout the comics app. But if you know what you're looking for, and there are third-party, not apps, but websites to do that. Like if you look for a storyline on Wikipedia or DC Wiki, and then you just track down the individual issues on DCU app, there you go. But it should be there within the app as well.
I agree. The search function is really the weakest link in the comic side of the app. So if they would tweak that and get it to where you can search more effectively by creator, storyline, the big crossover stuff, basically look at what Marvel Unlimited has done with their organizational style and just kind of mirror that and you'd be fine. Because you can search by creator, character, era, storyline. It's, and of course by title, it's great.
The browse function on Marvel is second to none. I wish that was on both apps.
I think they'll get there. They've slowly been like tweaking it as they. Well, I guess we could say they've been quickly tweaking it because it hasn't even been a full year since DC Universe went live.
No, I think it was last September, or October. So
yeah, so we're almost a year in, and it looks completely different now than it did when it launched. Mm-hmm. It is a night and day difference between then and now, and it looks absolutely fantastic. And it seems like every change they make is for the better. So DC Universe really, really hit. Hitting all strides, hitting that good stride right now. And speaking of, one of the things that they started with their big like launching like hook was a new season of Young Justice was coming. So that actually just ended this week with the 3-part season finale of Young Justice Outsiders. I haven't actually watched that yet, but I am up to that point. I just have those 3 episodes to watch.
Yeah, and they just dropped and finished up, so I got some spoilers on the last issue, or last episode.
Uh-oh.
But it's encouraging news for fans of the 30th or 31st century, shall we say.
Oh, subtle
synchronicity, keys. Yeah.
But the really great news for fans there is that Young Justice will be back for a season 4. They were picked up again on DC Universe. So the fandom that helped to bring that back really should be like Tommaso Ciampa patting themselves on the back right now. Because you guys have done a really great thing. You successfully brought Young Justice back, and then you committed to watching it and showing that the fandom really is there for this show. And they heard you. So the show will be back for at least one more season.
Now give me back the video game. Did you ever play that, the Xbox game they did?
I didn't. I heard that it was really good, but I never actually got around to playing that one. What I would like is now that fandom needs to get on bringing back Green Lantern the animated series. Give me season 2 of that.
But only if they do not adapt the current Green Lantern story arcs as written by Grant.
No, keep heading into that whole like turn of Sinestro and then ultimately Blackest Night that they were heading into at the cliffhanger of season 1. And more Diedrich Bader as Guy Gardner, please.
Yeah, it was really a perfect first season when it was coming out on Cartoon Network all those years ago. That had to be what? 2012? Year was that?
2011.
Same year as the original, or as the live-action film, which had very little in common with the series.
Yeah, night and day difference. They are nothing alike. The animated series was fantastic, produced by Bruce Timm of Batman the Animated Series fame, and the live-action movie is just a big old polish. So... one of these things is great. One of these things is skippable. And DC Universe won't even put that Green Lantern movie on their lineup.
I know, right?
Sorry. Nobody would watch it. Or they shouldn't. But we got to get into some other good comics news. Greg Capullo, very popular artist over at DC Comics, just re-upped his exclusive contract again. Because he and Scott Snyder, his longtime Batman collaborator, apparently have a new thing they're going to be doing together. And there's lots of speculation out there about what it is. Of course, HTF mentioned something that I had talked about before, that it could be the one run that they had teased a while back. Or it could be Greg Capullo is going to join the lineup of artists on Justice League. Either one of these things is fine with me because I think it's no secret that you and I are on metal than the HTF are.
We are, but I think I'm a little metaled out myself and Dark Universe out, although I'm looking forward to the one-shots. They are intriguing, but as far as the Dark Knights, I wish they had stuck around a little bit longer, except for the Batman Who Laughs. who I'm kind of tired of, and I'm just sick of that costume. The cowl is just annoying to me.
I did just finish the miniseries of The Batman Who Laughs and how it sets up the new Batman Superman title that's coming from Joshua Williamson. And
tomorrow.
Yep.
Or I'm sorry, yesterday.
Or yesterday.
Hey, listeners.
I have picked that book up. I'm going to dive into it and read it. I'm actually buying both covers, the connecting covers. And after reading the preview of it and seeing where Scott Snyder left things at the end of the miniseries, I think there's a lot of room to play here with these ideas. The Dark Multiverse has way more ideas in it than just the Batman Who Laughs, and that's really what I'm buying into. I'm especially happy that like the Batman Who Laughs has played no factor whatsoever in Scott Snyder's Justice League.
That's true. Luthor, long-term Luthor,
yes,
with Year of the Villain stuff going on.
And I just caught up on that book tonight, so I'm ready for the beginning of the Justice Doom War in Justice League 30. That's looking really good. Man, Scott Snyder has actually crafted a really smart story here, but I can see how if you're reading this month to month like I am, you're going to have like a lot of patience with it. But if you were to be reading this as a collection, even as like trade, six issues at a time, you probably get a lot more out of it. You'll probably think that this is actually really, really good. Because it is. It is actually very good.
Main Justice League book has been extremely consistent. Snyder's done a very good job with that title. Ever since we got of No Justice, which was very good as well, kind of like clearing the plates, starting all over.
Yeah, it's given us a good Justice League run. And Justice League Odyssey is actually pretty good, though I would say definitely the weak link in the lineup. Justice League Dark, though, actually real good.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought so, too. Odyssey, I'm kind of wondering why it exists anymore.
Yeah, it feels like it's coming to an ending point. Like after the inevitable crossover of all three titles, it would make sense to probably shuffle off two of them and just have one Justice League book. Even though like I would hate to lose Dark, I can also see that it feels like it's reaching a climax as well. Like, okay, let's wrap this up. Justice League Odyssey, we definitely need to go ahead and wrap this up. But Snyder on Justice League, keep going as long as he wants. He's crafting some really good stories there and has actually made Justice League into some must-read comics again, which is a far cry from what it was at the beginning of Rebirth.
How many issues did Hitch do?
God, it was too many.
Too many. I know that series, I don't know. And speaking of delays, that was a much delayed series.
It was.
But this has been a very good palate cleanser. And imagine, he's already about issue 30. It feels like just yesterday they started. That's the beauty of bi-monthly comic. You've got momentum.
Yeah, talk about consistency. Like Scott Snyder and his
bi-weekly.
It's twice a month, and he and his art team are just on fire. They continually get it out, and the book looks like trash. The book always looks good. So consistent art, excellent writing. Yeah, Justice League is good stuff. If Greg Capullo is coming on for that, I'm here for it because I love the way he draws the league. I really do like the lineup of the current Legion of Doom. I think that that Luthor has really assembled a good, like, fun team there. Stuff characters that are the foils of each member of the league. Of course, one of them abandoned ship already, or he was fired.
Right,
Joker was fired from the Legion. Because he's just too unpredictable, but
not a team player.
Not at all. He did show up in Detective Comics almost immediately after for a one-off issue that was kind of funny. Peter Tomasi writing Joker is kind of hit and miss for me, but You know, another person's taking a crack at writing Joker. I believe it's is it Todd Phillips that's doing the Joker movie?
Yes, and it's like right around the corner.
Yeah, like Joker's about to come out, and the early buzz on it is that it's actually really good.
Well, I mean, people like Scorsese are involved in production. Joaquin Phoenix is no slouch. Let's just hope that it isn't what I think it is. I hope that it is still a nebulous enough possible or way they can walk back an origin of a Joker. Much like Wolverine, you have a definitive origin for the character. Some people are going to be satisfied, but the overall character, I think, is the allure is missing.
I agree with that. I don't want a set-in-stone origin Joker. I like it much better when it's ambiguous, when, like, how The Dark Knight handled it, how Alan Moore's
Killing Joke
handled it. Yeah, yeah, like, he tells all these different versions of how he came to be, and you're not sure which one is right, if any of them are. But I am intrigued by this movie just because of the buzz and the hype around it, and the fact that it's got a hard R rating. That was, you know, a little surprising. I didn't really expect them to necessarily go there, but they did. They are pulling out all the stops and going for the R rating. So, what do you think about that? Do you think that this is going to be like a true R, or is it going to be more like comic booky R rated?
Well, like Deadpool to me is comic booky R.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think you have an opportunity to differentiate yourself from the MCU. And though this is not technically a DCEU corner, this is not a DCEU film. It's, what is the Visions of DC, or what do they call this? The this imprint.
You know,
I forget what they call it.
I'm just going to say that the imprint idea has probably just been thrown out the window at this point.
Yeah.
They're just making DC movies.
But what better way to separate yourself from the copycat notion of trying to model everything after the MCU? Just tell us a good story and give it something that makes it pop. And if you're going to see brains splattered on the subway, so be it.
Yeah. And for a Joker movie, I feel like you can absolutely get away with that. In fact, it makes a lot of sense to go that route. But speaking of DC movies, we got a lot of, or at least a couple of, surprise casting announcements about James Gunn's Suicide Squad sequel/reboot/whatever this thing is.
Yes.
To be.
Yes. But we don't always get the characters' names, you know?
No.
This actor's in it, but who's he playing? We'll have to wait and see.
Is it an actual, like, full character, or is it going to be a cameo? We don't know, but we did find out that Nathan Fillion, who is, like, every fan, like, seems to be involved in every fanboy dream casting for every character ever, is going to be joining James Gunn's Suicide Squad, but we have no idea who he's playing. Alongside Thor, God of Thunder, Thor, Love and Thunder, and Thor Ragnarok director, Taika Waititi, is also going to be joining them, this movie. Not the first time, Taika has been in a DC film, though. He did have a role in a movie we mentioned earlier, in 2011's live action Green Lantern. Film.
Ah, well, let's assume that he's not going to be playing the same character he played there. Which was it, Slack? No, who was it?
No, it was a character who has the unfortunate nickname of Pie Face.
Oh, Tom Calvin.
Yeah, though they never referred to him as that in the movie. And that's for the best. Now, if somebody were to maybe find a way to work that joke into a Suicide Squad reboot, that could potentially be really funny in a like offensive but jokey way.
Well, this project, just James Gunn, all these crossover, I won't just say Marvel, but notable actors. A lot of people seem to want to work with James Gunn based on what he did with the two Guardians films. This is very exciting. I just think I need to know more.
Same. And I know they cast another actor, and I can't remember his name now, but they've got the voice of King Shark, so that kind of confirms that King Shark will be in the movie, but he's likely going to be, I guess he has to be a CGI-created character. That will hopefully look better than the version that they used on the DC Flash.
Mm-hmm. They're kind of limited by budget, but it's good enough for me. I need it in sparing doses. Like, you can only have a little bit of Grodd and a little bit of King Shark on the TV's Flash. That's just the way it is.
It is. Like, you can't afford to touch two on screen all the time. It's not going to work. But that's some fun news. But we've been promising the people something just about all month long, because this month marks the 15th anniversary of Justice League Unlimited premiering on Cartoon Network. And just for fun, just for shits and giggles, I put it out there on social media for people to tell us what their favorite episodes of Justice League Unlimited were. And of course, as you'll know, Justice League Unlimited was the culmination of a years-long DC animated universe journey that started with Batman the Animated Series, ran through Superman, Static Shock, Justice League, Batman Beyond, and then, of course, ultimately culminating with Justice League Unlimited. So with that, I've gathered up the list of responses that we got, and I'll go through those in just a second. But Todd, you did watch this show too, yes?
I did. This is one I didn't watch the original Justice League when it came out. I watched this as it was airing, although, and I guess DVRing them as I did. I remember a lot of great episodes with The Question. But I remember the finale where the heroes and villains had to team up to take on Darkseid. And it was very Kirby-ish, Jack Kirby tribute to Darkseid. So very cool finish to the Unlimited series.
I fully agree. Like, I really enjoyed a lot of this show. I don't think there was ever a bad episode of it.
No, just being able to pull from different quarters of the DCU and show us characters in animation we didn't necessarily think we would ever see.
So yeah, there's lots of good stuff to go around in there. Did you have any personal favorite episodes?
I like that finale. I like the way they did their own little take on the Suicide Squad, like a proto Suicide Squad for us. I don't remember if they actually called it that.
They referred to it by its actual name, Task Force X.
Okay.
That was the name of the episode as well, which is a good segue, because Geek and Eats, our good friend on Twitter, listed that as one of his favorite episodes.
Hey, happy birthday, G&E.
Alongside other episodes like Kid Stuff, where the Justice League is turned into to children. And they're taking on... I forget the little witch kid's name. It's not Clarion.
Not Clarion?
It's not Clarion. He's way too blonde and way too like British seeming to be Clarion. But his mother is constantly grooming him to be a like this great magical.
It was Mordred. It was kind of like a twist on the King Arthur character, so Morgan Le Fay and Mordred.
Yes, that's who it was. You also mentioned the episodes Flashpoint and, of course, Epilogue, which I think...
Yeah, Epilogue was on my list, too, with Batman Beyond tribute.
Yeah, that's... I think that episode is the one that is pretty universally beloved, because it's just such a perfect... ending to the DC animated universe, even though it aired at the end of season two, because they thought they weren't going to get picked up again, and then the show got renewed for a third season. It was like, oh, well, we have to keep going. And I mean, all that next season was real good. It was actually pretty great. But Epilogue stands really as this just perfect ending to the show, perfect ending to the entire animated universe. Mm-hmm. And Geek and Eats also mentioned the episodes Double Date and Question Authority, which are both really good question episodes.
Right.
The confrontation between Question and Superman and Question Authority is just absolutely fantastic. I love everything about that.
Yeah, that's a character you never thought you'd see in animation. Mm. So, very cool idea to bring the classic Steve Ditko character to this Justice League. Very interesting.
Great tale. Kind of my ideal take on the character now. Like, probably because he was the first one that ever really made me a fan, but now I'm like, this is what I want out of the Question. It's just so good. And of course, our longtime personal friend, Ben Morse, said on Twitter that he is a big fan of the episode Divided We Fall because it has the most badass Wally West moment ever. When Wally runs at super speed around the world so fast to build up momentum for his punch deliveries on a Brainiac Luthor, Lex Luthor amalgamation. This is, of course, the end of of the big arc, the big Cadmus arc that had been going on for an entire season and had actually been built to from building blocks that were set up in Superman the Animated Series,
right. So good old Double X and all those guys.
Exactly. Like, it was brilliantly written stuff, and this is something that our friend Greg Phillips over on HGF called out. He mentioned Epilogue as well, but he also just mentioned that entire Cadmus arc. There's not a bad one in the bunch of that. And our friend Chris Brooks in one of our Facebook groups also echoed Greg's sentiments about Epilogue. Russell Harbison Jr., called out the greatest story never told, which is a great Booster Gold episode that features a man who has opened a black hole in his chest and is swallowing the world around him while the Justice League is off battling Faust.
Is it Faust or is it Mordru? I think Faust was on a different one.
That's right,
Mordru. From Legion and. We just talked about Mordru last week on the challenge of the Super Friends for the superhero Legends of Superheroes. Right?
Man, he steals that show at the end, doesn't he?
He didn't sing "That's Entertainment" this time.
God, that's the only thing I would about that episode now is I would have had Mordru break into "That's Entertainment" as he's being taken down.
I think I have a new cosplay idea.
Oh God, I've got to see this. Make that happen, Todd. That has to be the thing you do for Halloween. James William Stubbs mentioned the Once and Future Thing, parts 1 and 2. That's a great time hopping little adventure featuring members of the Justice League like Batman, Woman, Green Lantern, and also I think maybe one of the few times in the show where we get Jonah Hex.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Jonah Hex and. Is that the one Sergeant Rock too, or no?
I think so, because they don't see their time in the Old West. It jumps all around, even goes to the far future, and we meet John Stewart meeting his and Hawk Girl's son Warhawk in the Batman Beyond universe. Batman and old Batman having a conversation together, which was fun, and just some all around good times going on. On there, I think people would really like that one. That was a good two-parter for JLU. James also mentioned the episode Patriot Act because it's because of its use of Crimson Avenger and Vigilante, who is the cowboy version of Vigilante.
Yes, not the original Vigilante.
Yes, voiced by Nathan Fillion.
It all comes around. All comes full circle.
It does. And, of course, last but not least, Dennis Gary mentioned all of those episodes as well as the series finale as I believe you mentioned, is an episode called Destroyer.
Destroyer.
Which has probably the most badass Superman moment of the entire DC animated universe when he takes on Darkseid in the streets of Metropolis and fully unloads on him in like the most spectacular way possible. If you haven't seen that scene, just go YouTube that real quick. Or, hell, go fire up DC Universe app and go watch you some Justice League Unlimited. It's all on there. And
that ends the 14 years of the official DC animated, I guess, the Timverse.
Yeah, the entire Timverse is indeed on the DC Universe app. You can watch every single show, even Static Shock. That's all on there as well. And Batman Beyond actually just got its first season upgraded to HD.
4K, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
I forget, we had a Legion of Superheroes episode, and I would be remiss in not mentioning that, because Supergirl joins up with the Legion, and it's kind of a melancholy thing, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, that's in the final season, when Supergirl is struggling to find her place on Earth in the modern day, but she winds up on that future adventure where she saves the world of the future of the 31st century with the Legion, and kind of starts to have a little romance with Brainiac 5 as she does in the comics, and that kind of makes her decide to stay. Of course, Superman doesn't really find out about this until much later, and he doesn't actually meet this boy that she's met and become interested in. He winds up asking John Stewart and Green Arrow about it a little bit later, and they're kind of looking at each other like, "So, which one of us gets to tell him?"
Yeah, yeah. I just like the character stuff. I love it anytime this show gets together and does panels, or I saw them in their own characters reading another script, and it was great. I can't remember what that was from. But it had Newbern, and I don't know if it had Conroy.
Now they have Conroy there. I remember this. They definitely had Rosenbaum, too. And Michael Rosenbaum as Wally West is just fantastic. And Phil LaMarr just kills it as John Stewart. He's so good. But everybody on that show was great. All the voice cast is just right on. All the characterizations are nailing it. So Justice League Unlimited really was, I think, the ultimate realization of DC Comics characters on screen, be animated or live action. Like, these are basically the ideal versions of all of these characters. This is as good as it gets. Nobody has done better since then, although Young Justice keeps trying to take swings at it.
You know, and these animated films where Tim is involved in them, adapting stories, they're good, but they don't have the consistency that a series like this had. You know, nothing has.
Yeah, this was Bruce Timm at his creative peak. This was his best work easily. And the stuff he's done since has ranged between okay and oh boy, what was he thinking?
Yeah, the Batgirl Batman stuff we can all talk about in Killing Joke. That was not wise.
Not a good move. Wasn't a good look. It was real awkward watching that in the theater with people. I felt dirty. But I think most of the theater did too. But we digress. Bruce Timm created this DC animated universe, and if there's nothing else that you watch on the DC Universe app, experience that from the beginning all the way to the end. You won't be disappointed. It will make you a fan of DC Comics characters. I mean, it certainly did. It did wonders for me as an introduction to these characters.
Mm-hmm.
Justice League Unlimited is particularly great for its focus on B and C lister hero characters and putting them in front. Like, the very first episode is focused on Green Arrow and Captain Atom. Those like our two like diametrically opposed characters who wind up having some great hero moments in that episode, especially Green Arrow. I became a Green Arrow fan because of that. So this show can do amazing things with these characters. Well worth watching over and over and over again. In fact, I'm probably going to go do that right now.
And when they would adapt something, it was done very smartly. like for The Man Who Has Everything, their adaptation of the Black Mercy story.
I'm so glad you brought, because that is like maybe the as close to a perfect adaptation of a comic book story as has ever been done on screen. It makes like some minor changes here and there, but it is almost exactly the same story. It plays out so beautifully. It's a amazing and just heartbreaking episode. That's the second episode of the series.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
They got that very quickly and wow, just jaw droppingly. So, that's one that is high up on the list. You got to go watch that episode. It's a good standalone episode too.
I have a question. Teacher, did they adapt the White Martians too, or is that, am I thinking of something else?
That was the original Justice League series.
Okay.
The first three episodes are the White Martian and real good stuff. Like it starts on a, like this truly epic note that brings the just the original seven together. That series focused solely on them. It didn't really expand out into the wider world. Although they did have a couple of Aquaman episodes in there. Some real good ones too. Although if you're looking for the very first appearance of the Bruce Timm version of Aquaman, that happens.
That's in Superman. Yeah,
yep,
sorry.
That is in Superman. that's in Superman series.
And he's not hook hand or harpoon hand. No. The other episode I was thinking of, because it was a shout out to the Super Friends, was the one that had kind of like adapted versions of the Wonder Twins and Black Vulcan. Do you remember those?
I do, yes.
What was that called? Ultimate. That was it.
Yeah, they did like clone versions of all these heroes, and then like it's revealed in a later episode that they have like an army of these things, like
right, Cadmus, right?
Yeah, this is part of the Cadmus arc, and it's it's like it's real creepy, but it's also just awesome. Like that whole bit really worked for me. The only other episode that I would really want to, I don't remember if this was JLU or if it was Justice League, but an episode called Hereafter that adapted the death of Superman.
That was the seven, the big seven series.
Yeah, it was. That was in the original series because it's almost every episode of the original series was a two-parter. While Justice League Unlimited was much more like single episodes, self-contained, but kind of like X-Men, the animated series, it was episodic, so it was like one flew to the other in a lot of ways.
Big arcs.
Yeah.
I remember the original Justice League series felt like they were almost making them for DVD. Not like a box set, but you know, here's these two episodes on one disc kind of thing.
Yeah, they would do that for a little while, and then ultimately they wound up being collected in full seasons on DVD. So that worked out pretty well, and with the recent resurgence of popularity of these things and the new like HD upgrades, maybe one day we're going to get that full HD upgrade of Justice League and JLU. My fingers are crossed personally for that Superman animated series. But
That's the one that I think gets short shrift because it was just a little different and it only ran the two seasons. But they did some great stuff with the Jack Kirby's Fourth World and character designs for Supergirl. And it was just a very good take on Superman when he was kind of a little bit dead. Not dead, but post Lois and Clark, that era, you know, the mid-90s.
Yeah, it was like a late 90s turn on Superman. Didn't catch fire like Batman the Animated Series did, but it should have because it was done real well.
Oh, and great Lois, too.
Yeah.
That was a really successful, and Clancy Brown, Luthor, I don't have enough good things to say, just because it's one of my favorite iterations of Superman. The spin-off comic was really good, but how could it not be? The Timverse, everything was good about it. Everything was great about it.
Yeah. Also, Superman the Animated Series, first appearance of Wally West, first appearance of Sinestro, Kyle Rayner, gave us Dana Delaney, Lois Lane, Clancy Lex Luthor. The first appearance of Brainiac, who winds up being like the main villain for Justice League Unlimited. And then Darkseid, my God, Michael Ironside.
Michael Ironside,
just tremendous as Darkseid. And, of course, Ed Asner as Granny goodness.
Yeah, that's still the definitive Granny for me.
Same. I read Granny Goodness in Ed Asner voice, though I got to say Justice version of Granny Goodness is real good, too.
I was going to bring, that was my next point. Yeah, the Omega symbol Granny Goodness. Yeah, hey, that character is always going to be in style. You can always do good stuff with that. Evil Grandma.
Yeah, it's such a good show, and it's crazy to think that it's been 15 years since it came about, but it's one that you can enjoy over and over and over again. But that's going to bring us to a close to this surprisingly extra long episode of Current Events. But you know, sometimes things happen like that. Before we get out of here, we're going to tell you where you can find us on the old social media machines. You can hit me on Twitter and Instagram at Russell_Sellers, name both. Todd, where are they finding you?
They're finding me on Twitter at Todd Weber Guitar, on Instagram at Guitars of Green. Join the Place to Be Nation comics group. Check us out on iTunes. Leave a review. Check out our back archives on placetobenation.com. I think that's all I've got. You'll hear lots of but more about what's going on with PTBN after our theme music.
Yes, and come back next week when we kick off yet another theme month for the month of September. We're going to be diving into The Flash. And the guys that are going to be joining us on this first episode, we have one Greg Phillips from the Hard Traveling Fanboys and our longtime close personal friend, Ben Morse.
He used to work at Marvel, I believe.
He did. He was indeed a former Marvel employee, now working as a professor at UNLV. So he's out living his best life in the desert. But next week, he's going to join us to talk all things The Flash and why Wally West is the best Flash, according to Ben. But come back next week for that. We're going to have a whole lot of fun stuff for the month of September. And
yeah, what other things about The Flash are we talking about? Are we going to do a comic or a show?
Yeah, we're going to do both. We're going to be talking about The Flash number 123 in our second episode. That's going to be all about that classic, The Flash of Two Worlds. Carmine Infantino art on that one. You guys are going to definitely be in on that episode. And then, of course, we always like to do like a character in other media. So we're going to take a look at the pilot episode of the 1990 Flash series that starred John Wesley Shipp. It's certainly a unique situation.
I can visualize that foam latex suit with the nose. Flash isn't supposed to have a nose on his cowl.
You know, he did have a little Hawkman thing going on there, didn't he?
Yeah, it's
a little. Although I appreciate some things about the suit, but we'll talk about that on the actual episode. So make sure you tune in for all of those. And, of course, there will be another Current Events at the end of September that hopefully, maybe won't go quite as long as this one did.
We'll see.
You never know. You never know what you're going to get.
No promises.
We can't promise anything other than having a really great time and us telling you all about how there is something for you at DC Comics, or as Todd likes to say,
DC for you.
DC for you.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following. Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation pop listeners, this is your manager, Todd Weber, here to tell you all about the goings-on, PlaceToBeNation.com. Starting up with our Place to Be Nation pop podcast feed, the Hard Traveling Fanboys review The Boys, Volume 1, by Garth Ennis and Derek Robertson in this edition of The Longbook Hunters. If you haven't checked out The Boys TV show on Amazon, you really should. It is something else. I loved it. On DC4U, our weekly look at DC Comics, Russell and myself conclude Justice League Month with the hilarious hijinks found in the network TV special from 1979, Legends of the Superheroes, The Roast. On the inaugural sports edition of Looking Forward, Looking Back, Andy Atherton is joined by the Cowboy Roger Morissette, Scott Criscolo, and Peter Winson to look forward and preview the upcoming NFL season, as well as look back and analyze the most recent seasons of the NBA and the NHL. The Year in Pop returns, with Andy and Scott being joined by George Ribellino, Dr. G, and J. Arsenio D'Amato. Look at all those good fellas to discuss the news, sports, and pop culture of 1977. On a brand new Sunday Groove, David and guest Andy Helene discuss their personal Desert Island discs.
And the Marvel Age podcast is back. We cover 1972. We've got Werewolf by Night, Tomb of Dracula, Fantastic Four, lots of great reading, plus the Kree-Skrull War. Check it out, 1972, Part 1 on Marvel Age podcast.
Facebook users, go to the PTVN's Greatest Song of the 80s Tournament, Like the Page. We are continuing the Greatest Song of the 80s Tournament. There's four polls a day. We're in round three. Never Gonna Give You Up is going strong. Sweet Child of Mine, probably gonna take it all, in my opinion. But Like the Page, vote every day. It is a ton of fun. Over on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we've got the PTBN Mothership, the Place to Be podcast. JT Scott and Peter Winston take a look at the last Saturday night's main event of 1989. Ben Zani has a football-themed episode of Row 1, Seat 1 with a pair of guests who discussed the New England Patriots and the Miami Dolphins. On episode 3 of Extreme Three-Way Dance, JT, D'Amato, and Jenny run down the entire month of ECW Hardcore TV following the night the line was crossed from 1994. And on episode number 7 of You Don't Know Billy Jack, Drew introduces Jordan to Jumbo Saruta versus Dinigichu Tenryu from June 5th, 1989. Lots of 1989. We're also paying tribute to 1994, 25 years. We've got lots of great content and articles, podcasts, lots of stuff talking about that great year in pop culture. Every Wednesday on Place to Be Nation, we've got the most interesting and unexpectedly funny stories on the World Wide Web on Glenn's Weekly Walk. Great collection of links for Wednesday reading. Check out our social media pages and message board at www.bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining our GWWE pay-per-view and TV match ever project. Get in on the conversation today. Start researching your list. Those are due at the end of the year. We'll see what the best pay-per-view match is. I'm going with Steamboat Savage. And now back to Marvel Age.